Thank you for joining me today as we meet together coast to coast in these United States on the radio and around the world on the God Is podcast. We're reading early on in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 39 to 52, and we find that Jesus emerges from his youth to visit the temple in Jerusalem with his parents and family and friends. And these verses tell us something significant regarding God's timing. As we begin, let me just remind you of what verses 40 and 52 say. Luke uses both to summarize Christ's boyhood from the year since birth to 12, and then Jesus' youth and young adulthood from the years 12 to 30. Given that we do not have a word from Jesus spoken in the Bible until he is a fully grown boy. Here is Luke 2, verse 40. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And from the context we know, the child, here capitalized in the biblical text, is Jesus. And here is Luke 2, verse 52. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. In the Bible, the next we hear from Jesus, he is a 30-year-old man arriving from Galilee to be baptized by John the Baptist. So verse 40 represents the years birth to 12, and then verse 52 represents the years 12 to 30. Only one time in between, here at the age of 12, did Jesus speak, at least as we have his words preserved in the scripture. And this is what he says. This is Luke 2, verse 49. And Jesus said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?" And we will come to discover the deep meaning behind these words in due course, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. When we pull together the 400-plus years of God's silence during the intertestamental period, and we add it to the 30 years Jesus was on earth, but silent, again, minus the two sentences at the age of 12, that leaves us with this reality. God does not speak for a very long time, at least as we mere humans count time. But here's a lesson in this silence for us, and it's this. In this text, Jesus teaches us that although sometimes God does not speak, God is always active. Again, Jesus teaches us that although sometimes God does not speak, God is nevertheless always active. God was very active in the events of world history and Jewish history, as we saw during the period between Malachi and Matthew. And God is again on the move during the years where Jesus is alive and growing in Nazareth, but says nothing to us. And what I want to do is demonstrate to you from the Word of God what the Lord was up to. This will lead us into other lessons, and I will come to the second one tomorrow. Please be here for that. But what I want to do today is talk with you about how our first lesson applies to us. Did you know that in your life also, although sometimes God does not speak, God is always active? And let me divide this statement of mine into two parts. Part one is that God does not speak, and part two is that he is active. Entering into part one, I want to ask, is God ever really not speaking to you? And I think what we get from the Bible is one of these yes and no answers. Yes, God is silent for certain stretches of time in our lives. But in another sense, no, God is not silent. He always speaks. Here's what I mean by this. As long as you and I have the Bible and read it attentively now, as long as we have the very Word of God and we read it, and the Holy Spirit applies His Word to our minds and hearts, then God is speaking, because God always speaks through the Bible. The Bible is God's way to communicate to us. So if you want to hear the Lord speak to you, read the Scriptures. And in this sense, God is never, ever silent. The problem, a very significant dilemma many Christians have, is that they are not consistently soaking in the wisdom of the Lord God. And I'm not speaking here merely of a kind of my daily bread, 5 minutes and you're done, a checklist sort of thing. Okay, I got through that little passage for another day. Now, what's the next thing that needs doing? No. What I mean is to prepare yourself before you read, to be prayerful about what you will read, to ask questions of the text, to perhaps keep a journal and take some notes, and to reflect open-mindedly to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And then to discuss this with other mature believers, perhaps those reading exactly what you are. This is particularly true if you are a new Christian or an immature believer. Seek out mature Christians and ask them to read, to study the Bible with you. Ask them questions about the text. Get with your spiritual leader, your pastor perhaps, and talk about the Bible. If you will do this, I guarantee you, Christ follower, God will suddenly not seem so silent. The reason many of you think he's gone quiet is because you have detached yourself from his very word to you. I am amazed at the number of Christian people that have lamented to me about how withdrawn God seems from them. And when I ask about the daily discipline of getting into the Word of God, they look at me like I'm suggesting something odd, abnormal, almost outlandish. But how can this be? I think it should be a given that Christians obsessively delve into the Bible every day. We need it more than even food and water. And God's very word to you is understandable. It is. Try reading it, and you'll see. So to the question, is God ever really silent? I say no. It's never really that he does not speak. Read the Bible attentively and see what I mean. However, in answering this inquiry honestly, I also say that yes, God is silent from time to time in our lives. And I have personally experienced this. So did men and women in the scriptures. I think, for example, of the isolation that Joseph, abandoned by his very own brothers, and then, just as he is being obedient to God and resisting the sexual advances of Potiphar's wife, off to prison he goes, falsely accused. How must young Joseph had felt? Where was God? Surely he experienced the same emotions we have when God does not speak in our lives. Hurt, confusion, rejection, insecurity, and even fear. We just cannot hear him, and we feel sort of lost. Often we feel the silence rattling us in our prayers. At times in our ongoing discipleship received from the Lord, we had a very fruitful prayer life. We abound in praise to God. We make our petitions and ask our questions, and quickly, even at times it feels like before we say amen to the prayer, God answers. The Holy Spirit ministers to us his clear voice. There is a sweet walking together with God in the Spirit. But then comes the wilderness moments, sometimes lasting months or even possibly longer. Prayer is a very real struggle. Answers come so slowly. It's not that we're not getting what we want or that the answer is no. We know what that's like. This is different. We feel isolated from God. We're confused as to what's happened to his voice. And this leads to a lack of confidence and causes us to ask serious questions about ourselves and about him. We experience a deep spiritual hunger. If you've had this experience, I know how you feel. It is hard, and it is real. And it is also common. Joseph is hardly the only biblical example. Have you ever carefully read Psalm 42? Let me give you a taste today of Psalm 42. I'll not have time to say much about this, but right off the start in verse 1, the psalmist expresses he's in a spiritual drought. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. Ah, the imagery of a panting, thirsty deer. The soul is dry. Verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The writer wants God again. When you and I experience God's silence, our souls thirst, and we ask, O God, when can we come and appear before you again? We miss the affirming fellowship of your response to us. We're tired of the echoing effect to our prayers. And then dropping down to verse 5, the psalmist asks a question of his own soul. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? I do not like to make guarantees, but I guarantee if you have experienced a period in which you felt isolated from God, then you have asked this question to yourself. Why the despair? And then maybe you're dealing, like the psalmist, with some enemy of God in your life who starts to notice your despair and asks, listen to verse 3b, they say to me all day long, where is your God? That is also in verse 10. So you feel loneliness in your relationship to God, and then the one who had objected to your faith this whole time starts piling it on. And finally, you come to God, like in verse 9 of Psalm 42, and ask him, why have you forgotten me? Well, listen to how Psalm 42 ends. Part of verse 11, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. Despite the circumstance of quiet, the psalmist says, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. My friend, in the days ahead as we watch God on the move, in silence in the life of Christ, I want you to be encouraged. I believe you will be. But you've got to stick with me, okay? Each of the times we spend together builds on the one before. So come along each and every weekday, for God is. I can say something briefly about the second part of my statement. God is active. The full lesson is this. Although sometimes God does not speak, God is always active. And part two is, God is active. He's not inactive. He's moving, but it is quietly. It is behind the scenes, and only God knows what he is doing within you now. Now, you might say, prove this to me biblically. And to that I say, okay, I will, starting tomorrow. In fact, I'll show you that God is never inactive, right in the life of Jesus. We're going right back to Luke chapter 2 and the early life of Christ to learn some more lessons. What this journey we will take will reveal is that while sometimes God does not speak, God is always active, and Jesus is our example. Jesus is our teacher. He's the one we're following, so let's stick together and press on further, and we'll do all of that tomorrow, right back here on God Is.